Howdy. Good to see y'all. I've had this idea rolling around in my head for quite a while, and the two rocks that are in there are quite polished now. My lesson comes out of two parts in the Bible, well, actually quite a bit of parts in the Bible, but I want to talk about being strong and courageous. And so I'm going to do some reading at first, and hopefully if I can keep my commentary to a minimum, you guys will not get lost. So I'm going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 31, and to set the stage here, Moses is now going to pass away, and Joshua is going to take the mantle, and it's just kind of a changing of the guard. Then Moses went out and spake these words to all of Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded to you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as your inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord said to Moses, now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, where I will commission him. So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. The Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, you are going to rest with your ancestors, and these people will soon prostitute themselves to foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. And in that day I will become angry with them and forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and calamities will come upon them. And in that day they will ask, have not these disasters come on us because our God is not with us? And I will certainly hide my face in the day because of all of their wickedness turning to other gods. Now, write down this song and teach it to the Israelites, and have them sing it, so that it may be a witness for me against them, when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, and the land I promised on an oath to their ancestors, and when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. And when many disasters and calamities come on them, this song will testify against them, because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know that they are disposed to do this, even before I bring them into the land I promised them an oath. So Moses wrote down the song that day and taught it to the Israelites. The Lord gave the command to Joshua, son of Nun, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on an oath, and myself will be with you. And just in a little bit, we go to Joshua, the first chapter. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because I will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. 9 times in these passages, over a very short time, the words are echoed. Be strong and courageous. Why do you suppose these words are chosen so many times over such a short span in this history that we have recorded with the children of Israel? Well, let's back up and take a step back. Maybe put ourselves in their position. Changing the guard. Things are scary. We're no longer going to have this leader. We're now going to have this new leader. And is this new leader going to be good? Is God still going to be with us? We're about ready to enter into this land. We don't know anything about this land. All we have heard is stories about this land. Just 40 years prior to this point, Moses had sent 12 spies into this land of Canaan, and one of those spies were Joshua. These spies were to go into the land beyond the Jordan for 40 days. They were to observe who lived there, what the cities were like, how bountiful was the land. They were supposed to bring back fruit from the land to show the people how prosperous it was, how it flowed with milk and honey. After 40 days, the spies reported exactly a land flowing with milk and honey. The fruit of the land was the best around. It was the best group of grapes ever seen. But 10 spies reported giants and strong cities full of fierce fighting men. 2 of the spies, one of them being Joshua, reported that they could take the land. But the bad news filled the people's heads, and fear came over them. And once again, they started to complain to Moses, just like they did when they left Israel. Why have you brought us here? We had it so much better in Egypt. Our wives and children, they're all going to die. We need a new leader. And that frustrated God. And those people were not allowed to go into that promised land. because they knew God was leading them. They knew that pillar, that cloud was leading them during the day. They knew that pillar at night was leading them at night, and they knew that that was God. They knew that God opened up the Red Sea, and when the Egyptians came after him, the sea collapsed back on them. They knew it, but they were scared. They were always scared of what the worst could happen. Now, if you're like me, you've probably asked, why in the world did the children of Israel act this way? Why did they have such little faith? Didn't they know it was God that parted the Red Sea? Didn't they witness the plagues only happening to the Egyptians and not them? Didn't they see the water come out of the rock? Weren't they happy when they got the manna? How did they not see that God was taking care of them? How come they didn't remember the promise that God made to Abraham back in Genesis that this land was going to be their land? And if God was for them, nobody was going to be against them. But these children of Israel were scared, and they needed a constant reminder. Joshua needed a constant reminder. Everyone needed a constant reminder to be strong and to be courageous. I believe we are the same, exactly the same as the children of Israel. How many times do our fears dictate our behavior? How many times do we turn from God only to worship the created and not the creator? How come it is that when I want comfort, I go to food? I guess it's because I want to keep the pharmaceutical companies in business with my Ozempic. So brothers and sisters, don't be downtrodden. Our flesh is weak. Jesus did what we couldn't do. We're no better than the children of Israel. But take heart that these things are a part of maturing. These things are a part for us to learn and how to be strong and courageous. Do you suppose the generation of the children of Israel who are now standing in the Jordan learned from their fathers who died in the wilderness that now is the time? Now they need to be strong and courageous. I like to think about John 14, verses 1 through 2. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. God promised the children of Israel a place for them, a land beyond the Jordan called Canaan's land. He promised that to them. And they forgot about that promise. They forgot to be strengthened about that promise. God has promised us a land beyond the Jordan called heaven. He's going to take care of us. As I look across this room, there is not one person in this room that's not dealing with something. Each one of us has a giant in our way. Each one of us has a fortified city that we are dealing with. Each one of us has a very accomplished army standing up against us. But we need to remember to be strong. And it's not something that we can do. It's something that we rely upon the Lord to do for us. He strengthens us when we humble ourselves, when we become weak and we say, God, I can't do it anymore. When you're on your last nerve, when you're on your last nerve and you just don't think you can go anymore, where do you find that strength to just go one more day? Last night was a terrible night for me. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, I got this craving. Man, I wanted some Doritos. I wanted some of that French dip to dip the Dorito in. I wanted to go to Casey's and get some of those brownie bites. I couldn't stand it. I don't know how much God really helped me on this, but I think he did, because when I do that sort of stuff, my diabetes goes completely out the roof. But I prayed to God and I went to bed. That was the only way I could afford it. The only way I could avoid the problem of grabbing the car and just running to Casey's. God helps us in those ways when we lean upon him, when we ask him. He wants to help us. He wants to help us. He wants to see us succeed. So what I'm going to do for the rest of the time is I want to encourage you. I want to leave you with some verses that you can take with you this week to help you to become strengthened by God. I want you to even be courageous. Even though you're scared, even though you're not sure of the outcome, I want you to be courageous and know that God is going to take care of you. Psalms 28 and 7, and these are in no particular order, it's just the way that I wrote them down. The last one is in a particular order. I wanted to reserve the last one. See, I start talking and then I waste time. Psalms 28 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Psalms 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 138 and 3. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me and strengthened my soul. Psalms 18 and 34. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Isaiah 40, 29 and 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. But they will wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Jeremiah 32:17. Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, but thy great power stretched out. I need to reread that. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. One of the things that the children of Israel forgot to do is they forgot to meditate in the law day and night. That's why I bring these verses to you. We have so many more verses about encouraging that we know about in the Bible. There's a lot of verses there that will help us in our time of need. So many more than verses that we use to condemn one another. The final verse that I have is Ephesians 6:10. I'm actually going to read a little more than that because I'm such a good reader. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This strong means to be strengthened by the Lord, to meditate in that law day and night, to gain strength from him. It's not your strength, it's his strength. And it's working inside of you. I leave you with this one last thing. Well, maybe there's more than one. We're at war. We're always at war. And Satan is always testing us. I have a dog. I didn't talk to him about mentioning him in front of you today. I hope I don't embarrass him. But his name is Gus, and we hold our trash under our sink. And Allison has these little clips that keep the sink doors closed so he can't get into the garbage. Gus tests that door every day, all the time. He smells that garbage. He wants to get in there, and he's always poking and testing and trying to open that door. And sometimes, because I don't know my own strength, I'll shut that door a little rough and I'll break that little plastic tab. And the next thing I know, I come home and there's garbage all over the floor. Gus! Satan's just like that. He's always poking. He's always testing. He's always trying to find some little chink in our armor. Always. But as I said, we're at war. And this is what the enemy does to soldiers. They're always poking for a weakness. They're always trying to find a weakness. So it's important for us to recognize that we need to live by design and not by feelings. Feelings can be dangerous, leading us down a path that is ungodly. Just ask the children of Israel how feelings worked for them. Have you ever heard of Murphy's Law? Whatever can go wrong will go wrong, and it all goes wrong at once. That's Murphy's Law. I forgot about something that I had learned in the Navy. I worked in an area called Combat Information Center, and we did a lot of training. We did a lot of training trying to figure out how to handle Murphy's Law. We would have these people come on board, and we would be running a test through our radars, something would go wrong with one radar. One radar would catch on fire. Well, what are you going to do? The comms went out. What are you going to do? Something always happened. And it wasn't just one thing. It was a bunch of things happening at once. I like to think about Mike Tyson in the same area, because of something that he said. He said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the nose. It's true. You can have a plan, but when you're punched in the nose, your plans change. What's going to happen? What are you going to do? So there's three things that we need to do in combat to help us to not get overwhelmed and to not freeze up and fold under pressure. Three things. We need to identify, we need to prioritize, and we need to execute. When things go wrong, we need to identify where that's coming from. And we read where our problems are coming from in Ephesians 6, verse 12. Our problems are coming from the rulers of darkness. Those people who are against us who are spiritual. Those entities. That's the source of all of our problems. The second thing we need to do is prioritize our problems. We need to figure out which is the right problem to work on. Well, this is kind of hard. And when I was younger, I didn't prioritize my problems. I looked at all of my problems, all of my sins, all of the things that I needed to work on. I became overwhelmed. I couldn't fix all of them all at once. I couldn't be that perfect person all at once. I have to prioritize, which thing am I going to work on? Now, I might choose the hardest thing, or I might choose maybe the easiest thing or perceived to be easiest thing, and then I can click a couple of wins together and I start feeling better that things are going my way. The third thing is to execute. To execute. Identifying and prioritizing are nothing until you execute. And you have to have the courage to execute. And remember this, courage is not a lack of being scared. Courageous people are scared. It's when they act even though they are scared, knowing that everything will work out fine, having faith that God's got this. It's important for us to remember, this isn't our battle. This is God's battle. We need to remember that God created everything. God created you. He created this earth. He also created Satan. And he's going to win. Well, he already has won, hasn't he? So it's important for us to remember that the battle belongs to God. We need to go to him for strength. Now, I know I didn't make being a Christian sound fun. Nobody wants to be in war. Nobody wants to be in pain. Nobody wants to be scared. But being a Christian guarantees that this one thing, that God's going to help you. And God wants you to know that he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. So it's our job to not be afraid and to not be discouraged. I hope you find this lesson helpful for you as you go throughout this week. I know after every one of these lessons, some sort of entity says, "Ah, you think you know something about being strong and courageous. You just wait till Monday." Yeah, it's coming. I'm going to get tested. Just like Gus tests the garbage door, I'm going to get tested. But we're going to offer a gospel invitation to anybody who wants this help. Life is hard to go through without being a Christian and having God to lean upon. But if you want to be a Christian, if you want that help, if you want the God that knows everything guiding you, we're going to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.